Dave, good song. What a blessing. Of course, you might want to wish Dave happy birthday. Yesterday, he turned old. And that makes me feel old. Older. By the way, whoever keeps giving me the little number 50s, I don't know who that is. I will find you. But anyway, my office was full of 50s, and they keep popping up in different places, all the little 50s. I know how old I am. I understand how old. And anyway, I get a kick out of stuff like that. But I will find you, and I'll find out your age, and I will mass produce that number. And I will also, especially if you're a girl, I will remind you when you turn 30. Oh, yeah, see, because that means a lot. But anyway, in just a few moments, we will observe the Lord's Supper together. I like to have the preaching before that to give us opportunities. The Bible says we are to examine ourselves, and I can't think of a better way to examine myself than to let God do it through the preaching of His Word. And so I would ask you to be prepared for the Lord's Supper by, again, listening to the Scripture, listening to God as He speaks to you, making any decisions, getting things right with Him as you need to, so that you can observe the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes the way that He intended you to do it. Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we are tonight, Nehemiah 4. And tonight's message is a little different. It really won't be a long message if you look intelligent. Unfortunately, I see people very close to me, and several are lengthening the message the longer I look at them. But anyway, it really should not be a long message because we're having the Lord's Supper tonight. But it is a little different, and it's a little more educational, I suppose. Some things you can learn tonight that'll help you, I believe. Certainly it is God's Word that we're looking at, and I believe He can use it to speak to our hearts. So I trust that He will do that. Father, I pray You bless the preaching tonight. I pray You'll teach us some things. I pray, Lord, that we will have a better appreciation for Israel. I pray that we will understand some things tonight about Israel and about Your blessing on Israel. And Lord, how You'll bless us if we bless them. And I pray for Your guidance and direction now in Jesus' name. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." I call your attention to verse 8. It says, "And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem." The title of the message tonight is "Fighting Against Jerusalem." To come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. 2 weeks ago, I preached on the title, "We Are Despised," using the verses preceding this, and how that Satan and Satan's crowd despise Christians, God's people. I mean, the devil despises Christians. The devil despises Christianity. Now, I'm not talking about just religion. I'm talking about saved people. The devil doesn't mind religion. The devil, in fact, fuels a lot of religions, no question about that. But he absolutely despises Christianity. And I preached about that a couple of weeks ago, last Sunday that I preached. And the thing is, that's gone on through history. Satan has fought God's people, but especially Satan hates the Jews. There is no question about it that the devil absolutely has been fighting against Jerusalem, fighting against the Jews, and absolutely hates them. And you know, you think about God's chosen people, how they've been attacked by Satan and his crowd. I mean, you think about the Jewish nation and who are called the children of God, God's chosen people. They have always been persecuted and attacked by Satan and his crowd. And it's amazing. I'll show you some things tonight that'll probably surprise you. But they still are under attack. And they will be under attack throughout and even during the tribulation. That's interesting. Here it is. Piddly little Israel. I mean, here it is, a country that is very, very small, and it seems like they would have been destroyed many times, and really should have been destroyed. By the way, if somebody were to say, you know, I really don't believe in Christianity, I don't really believe the Bible, one of the great arguments you could use is just show them Israel. Just show them Israel. I mean, if you know somebody who says, well, I don't believe the Bible, tell them to study Israel. Tell them to look at the little nation of Israel. And consider all of the enemies Israel has had and still has, all of those that would like to destroy and literally crush Israel. And there they are, strong as ever. Just consider Israel. Tonight, if you're a doubter, tonight, if you, as a Christian, you say, I just can't make it. I'm under attack and the devil's after me and boy, things are going wrong and everything. Think about Israel tonight. Think about Israel, how God has literally protected, as He said He would, the nation of Israel. And they just keep going. It's amazing. You know, you read your Bible and you see the name Israel, God's people, Jerusalem. You see it over and over and over again, and constantly under attack, constantly going into captivity, as we talked about, as we led up to the book of Nehemiah. And you think, good night, you know, why would Israel be such an important part? By the way, in the end times, which I think we're there. I think we're right, either right on the edge or we're there to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, who's the central figure in the tribulation and in the battle of Armageddon and in all that takes place? Any prophecy you hear, there's Israel. And how do they keep making it? I mean, do you understand that Hitler killed 6 million Jews? They just keep going. How in the world? I'm going to tell you, it's because God protects them. God protects them. That, do you know that nation should have been wiped out years ago? I'm talking about wiped out. Should have been crushed. They've had enemy after enemy after enemy. Come on, the whole Arab nation's against them. And look at the sizes, look at the armies, look at the missiles. If you could just imagine all the missiles aimed at puny little Israel. Right now. Today. And they just keep going. Why? Look at Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17. Now again, I chose this tonight, because we're having the Lord's Supper, and this is not as long as a message, a lot of messages are, but also because I don't think we can treat Nehemiah right unless we really understand why in the world everybody hates the Jews. Why do they hate them and despise them so much? Isaiah 54:17. I love this verse, and I claim it, and I'll tell you why in a minute. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue... You know, how many of you remember way back in the 90s, Operation Gospel... No, I called it Gospel Storm. That was our Bible school. Operation Desert Storm. You can see where I got the idea for that. But do you remember the Scud missiles that were coming into Israel? And those Scud... I mean, those are supposed to blow up and kill people. And the Scuds were duds. Remember that? Remember America's Patriot missiles going up and intercepting those and blowing them out of the sky, and some of the Scuds came down and just went thump. Nothing happened. I'm going to tell you, God's God. Amen. Israel should have gone down years ago, should have gone down over and over and over and over again, and yet she's still standing and still as strong as ever, and just God says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Why such a focus on the Middle East? Well, because of the Jews. And the Arabs hate the Jews. And Islam hates the Jews. Hitler hated the Jews. The communists hate the Jews. The Catholics, oh, sit still, it'll be all right. They hate the Jews. And guess what? The Antichrist will hate the Jews. And in this hatred, fighting against Jerusalem, it was here in Nehemiah. Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites. I mean, you know, they absolutely hated the Jews. It's amazing how many hate the Jews today. But the Jews just keep going on. Why? Because they're God's people. Listen to me now. You're a Christian tonight. You need to take comfort because we're God's people. We also are God's people. And we are also God's chosen people. Not the same as the Jews. We're chosen because we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. It's going to happen. Nothing's going to stop it. Hello. Just like Israel is God's people, and they will survive, and they will thrive. Why? Because they are God's people, and God said that that's what would happen. So it's true. Let me give you some things tonight. First of all, it's God's promise. Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. We're going to get a little political tonight without being political. Genesis 12 and verse 1, we're just going to be biblically political. You say, preacher, the two don't go together. Well, we're not trying to impress anyone. We're just teaching the Bible. Amen. We're not trying to schmooze. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. You see it? There starts the promise. And I will bless thee. You see it? And make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's the beginning of Israel. That's the beginning of God's people. That's the beginning of where Jerusalem would be. He said, I'll bless thee. But notice what else he says in verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I will bless them that bless thee. But he says, I'll curse them that curse thee. By the way, how's the Third Reich doing? Hitler's Germany, how are they doing? How's all that going? Interesting, isn't it? So God's promise to the Jews is in verse 2. He says, I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee. I'll make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. Certainly we see that happening, don't we? I mean, it's so true. Again, you say, well, you know, preacher, I know somebody that doesn't believe in God. Tell them to look at the Jews. God made a promise. He's kept it. Why is Israel even still Israel? Why does it even exist in the first place? But you know what? God's promise is not only to the Jews, but it's also to others in verse 3. And that's anyone. It says, I'll bless them that bless thee. Somebody, hey, God says, if you're good to my people, the Jews, I'll bless you. If you're good to Israel, I'll bless you. If you are good to them, if you will bless them, God says, I'll bless you. See, we all somehow think that America is great because we're just such great people. Can I remind you where we all came from? We came from all those countries that aren't so great. Look, if you want to convince an atheist, someone who says they don't believe in God, about the Jews, or if you want to convince them about God, you can point them to the Jews, you can point them to the United States of America. I'm going to tell you, we are supernaturally great. The USA is supernaturally great. It's the hand of God. It's the hand of blessing of God on America, and I believe much of it is because we have been allies with Israel. Oh, there's people talking about not being that anymore. I got news for you. You look at the countries that have gone against Israel, and I'll tell you, all you have to do is just kind of study that out too, and you'll find out that God's word is true. And there's no way to twist the scripture here. You know, blessed that bless, cursed that curse. You can't twist that. We need to stick with Israel. We need to support Israel. We need to be pro-Israel. Amen. And you know, the politics of all this is, we need to watch those that are anti-Israel, because if they're anti-Israel, they're anti-us. I want God's blessing. By the way, that's if you believe the Bible. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, then that would be different. I'm telling you, you and I need to be pro-Israel. Those are God's chosen people. And God says, I will bless them that bless thee, when he spoke of that. By the way, Look if you will, at Genesis 13. Do you understand that Israel and that their land, it is their land? It's not anybody else's land. It's their land. Well, what about Ishmael? God gave the land to Isaac. Not to Ishmael. It's their land. Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Nobody has any right to mess with that. The Israeli prime minister doesn't have a right to mess with that. Nobody has a right to mess with that. God gave those people that land. Genesis 15, verse 6. Genesis 15, 6. And he believed in the Lord. He counted it to him for righteousness. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And again, what does God say? God says, you shall inherit this land. Chapter 17, verse 6. By the way, the book of Genesis, that's the beginning. Amen. Chapter 17, verse 6 says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. No question about it. God said, this is your land. Chapter 17 and verse 15, it says, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings and people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Watch this. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation, and he is. But, he said, my covenant, which includes the land, will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Isaac, not Ishmael. There, you know, no tolerance for making the Jews leave their land. Ever. You should have no tolerance for that. And I realize, I'm talking about not even one square foot of their land. That's because God gave it to them. Now again, I believe the Bible. And I may not have a say-so in it, but I'm telling you this, that you and I need to be very, very careful that we are on the right side on Bible issues. This is a Bible issue. And the United States is getting shaky on Israel, and I'm just telling you, we need to be very, very careful. I'm not going to be fighting against Jerusalem as Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabians, and Geshem, and all those birds did. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because God says, I'll bless them that bless them. Amen. And God has blessed, and we have been on the side of Israel, and God has blessed us as well. And I'm telling you, it is God's promise. You say, what's that have to do with us? Because God's promises are always true. And they're true to Israel, and they're true to us. You can count on every promise of God. And if you're hurting tonight, if you're struggling tonight, look at Israel. Just look at Israel. And understand, God is keeping his word. Number one is God's promise. Number two is man's persecution. Satan hates God's people. And we talked about that in reference to all of us, and especially Christians, and talked about that a couple weeks ago. But God's chosen people, I mean, God chose Israel, And Satan absolutely from that day hated him. Why? Because he hates God. I wish I could get people to understand how much Satan hates God. And he'll do everything that he can to hurt God. And when God stands and says, "Here's my people," Satan says, "I'll destroy those people. Because God, you love them. And because God, you've chosen them. And I will destroy them," Satan says. Certainly we looked at the Babylonian captivity. And I'm going to tell you, the only thing that happened in any captivity, any time the Jews are in trouble, any time the Jews are in a mess, is God simply removed his protection. That's all. He allowed outsiders to come in. Otherwise, nobody would touch him. God just allowed it because of their sin. Do you understand how much protection you would have if you would let God protect you? If you would abide in Christ, if you would walk with him, if you would avoid sin in your life. You realize how much God would take care of you and protect you. We get in trouble just like the Jews get in trouble because of sin. But the amazing thing is when God allows these nations to take his people into captivity because of their sin, the hatred with which they do it, the viciousness with which they attack, man's persecution of the Jews. It is history. By the way, don't expect to read about it in your public school textbooks. Don't expect to read about much of what is really history because it's hidden. It's not talked about. The Inquisition is left out of most textbooks today because it's something we don't really want to talk about. Catholicism. Christianity became officially recognized under Emperor Constantine in the 4th century. Understand, that's not the Christianity that we are. That was a government Christianity. That was a government-like imposed Christianity. In other words, you will become this or you will die. So when some of these quotes I talk about, this Christianity they're talking about, it's not what we are. It's not what we believe. And so as a result, theology was woven into government and the synagogue came under its control. The synagogue being the Jewish leaders. Justinian abolished Jewish religious and civil rights, and in 7th century Byzantine Emperor Heraclius began the first of the forced baptisms of the Jews. They forced them to be baptized as Catholics. And that's been repeated for years, including torture. And by the way, we don't do that. That's not us. Okay, we don't want anybody to get baptized because we say, "You'll get baptized or we'll blow your brains out." We don't do that. Amen. We don't force baptisms, only at Vacation Bible School. We force the characters to get baptized. The Crusades resulted in the murder of approximately, listen to this, this is the religious crusades of the Catholics. It resulted in the murder of approximately a quarter to one-third of the entire Jewish population in Germany and northern France. Do you understand? They're wiping them out. The Crusaders singing, "Christ, we adore thee," held their crosses aloft while burning 969 Jews to death who had locked themselves in the main synagogue in Jerusalem. Burn them to death, 969 of them, because they wouldn't convert to their religion. By the way, that's not us. The Crusaders believed they were avenging the death of Christ. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. It's been reported they ran over the mutilated bodies of those slaughtered their leader, and they quoted Psalm 118:24. "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." While they slaughtered all these Jews. Why such hatred? How did the Jews survive? This is religious people attacking the Jews. Over the centuries, the Jews have been made the scapegoat for numerous things. One pope blamed them for a hurricane, and the same pope blamed them for an earthquake. When the Black Death, which was a plague, broke out in Europe, the Jews were held responsible, allegedly having poisoned water wells. The result, over 200 Jewish communities throughout Europe were destroyed. More than 10,000 were killed in three German towns alone. This isn't World War II. This is before that. Thousands of others were killed because of fabrications accusing them of killing Christian children before Easter for ritual purposes. Jews were claimed to have desecrated the sacred elements in Holy Communion. In Prague in 1389, Jewish children accidentally sprayed a priest who was carrying a wafer host with sand, resulting in the massacre of 3,000 Jews. Had somebody tell me recently, you know, all the wars and all this, all the killing and everything is religious reasons. But that's not us. That's not Christianity. That's not those who have Jesus Christ in their heart. That's this hatred of the Jews. Jews were made to wear distinctive dress with a distinctive mark imposed on their clothing. As early as 1215 in many countries, these badges of shame made infamous in Nazi Germany marked them as social outcasts, subjecting them to physical and verbal abuse. Forced baptism of the Jews was common throughout the century. Some 50,000 Jews died in a riot in 1391, instigated by an archdeacon's preaching. Many of the Jews who were baptized forcibly continued to practice their former faith secretly. They were called Moranos, meaning swine. Jews have been expelled by almost every country they've resided in. Ferdinand and Isabella expelled all Jews from Spain in 1492 to consolidate their Christian realm. Nearly 300,000 fled to Portugal, where they were permitted to stay enslaved, later to be freed, but brutally and forcibly baptized. Can you imagine? But they keep going. Jewish suffering was considered entertainment at pre-Lenten carnivals. In medieval Rome, the weakest member of the Jewish community would be thrust naked into a nail-spiked barrel and rolled down the hill to his death, his fellow Jews forced to watch his martyrdom. On other occasions, Jews were made to run naked through the streets of the carnival in the icy cold and rain to be pelted by the crowds with mud and rocks. Sadly, even the great reformer Martin Luther, in the tract concerning the Jews and their lies, wrote, "Firstly, their synagogue should be set on fire. Secondly, their homes should likewise be broken down and destroyed. Thirdly, they should be deprived of their prayer books and Talmuds. Fourthly, their rabbis must be forbidden under threat of death to teach anymore. Fifthly, passport and traveling privileges should be absolutely forbidden to the Jews. Sixthly, they ought to be stopped from usury. Seventhly, let the young and strong Jews and Jewesses be given the flail, the axe, the hoe, the spade, the distaff, the spindle, and let them earn their bread by the sweat of their noses. We ought to drive the rascally, lazy bones out of our system." Why do people hate them so much? So many things. I've got many, many details. Of course, World War II. 6 million Jews. The death camps. Unbelievable. Many of you never heard of it. You grew up in a public school, went to public school, and they never said a thing about the death camps. Think about 6 million men, women, children slaughtered, gassed to death, experimented upon. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, I say all that to say, you say, well, preacher, why? I thought God's promise, but they just keep going. Why? Because of God's promise. I mean, God is, you know, God allows things to happen. God has allowed persecution, and God will continue to allow that because God wants the Jews to turn to Him. During the tribulation, Revelation 12, the Bible talks about the dragon and the woman, and that's Satan after the Jews. And God will have to protect them. It will be a slaughter. It'll be unbelievable, the attack on the Jews. And we see it building. And again, I ask you a question. Little Israel, teeny little Israel there in the Middle East, doesn't seem like anybody would even pay attention to Israel. We don't talk much about Kuwait. Israel, it's not this giant nation. And yet it is a giant nation because God has said, they're my people. Why do so many people hate the Jews? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because Satan hates the Jews. He hates the Jews. Why does he hate the Jews? Let me give you some things here real quick. First of all, God's word came through the Jews. Look at Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. Now, I'm not trying to get you to become a Jew. Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. You see it? The word of God. God gave it to them so we could get it. Look at Isaiah 2, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. I mean, that certainly would give Satan a good reason to hate him. I mean, the fact that they're God's chosen people, but the fact that the word of God came through the Jews. Isaiah 2, verse 3. It says, many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I guess that gives Satan a pretty good reason to hate him. Amen. Yeah. Why does Satan hate him? Well, God's word came to the Jews. How about the fact that salvation is of the Jews? Yeah. How about that? John 4, verse 22. You know what really upsets the devil? And that is that man could be saved. I mean, you want to really get the devil upset, and that is people getting saved. I mean, remember, the devil, he loves to do anything he can to hurt God. And God loves people. God loves man, for God so loved the world. He loves us. He loves mankind. And God made a way so man could be saved. Can you imagine the devil laughing when Adam and Eve sinned? Well, there's your people. There's the people you love, God. They've turned against you. I guess they'll all have to go to hell now. And then God made a way so man could be saved. So man wouldn't have to go to hell. I think the devil hates that. In John 4, verse 22, Jesus here is talking to the woman at the well. And he says this, ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. But look what he says, for salvation is of the Jews. Why? Because the Messiah was promised to the Jews and to come out of the Jews. And the Messiah is Jesus, and he is salvation. Salvation is of the Jews. And so Satan hates the Jews. Why? Because God's word came through the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Do you realize all of the gifts to man that God gives that comes through the Jews? Romans 9, verse 4. That's good stuff. Romans 9 and verse 4. I'm just trying to help you understand. And I'll tell you what, it ought to get you fired up. You go home, and I should have looked up how big Israel. Does anybody know what state Israel compares to? I was going to say New Jersey. Who said New Jersey? Because that's what I was thinking. Somebody said that. New Jersey, is that true? Do you know that to be a fact? Okay, I was thinking New Jersey for some reason. It's not much. West Virginia, one of those. I mean, it's just a small country. You know, and you sit here and say, you say, well, preacher, I just seem like I'm having such a tough time, and it seems like I'm going through all this, and I'm having a hard time, and it just doesn't, I don't think I can make it. Look at Israel. Get you a map of the world and look at Israel. Understand, all of the world for all of history has been against them. And they just keep going. Hey, you know, you're a Christian. You're standing alone. Everybody else is doing wrong. You're trying to do right. You say, how can I keep going? How can I keep doing right? You have the promises of God on your side. You just keep going. You're going to be all right. Look at this. God's gift to man came through the Jews. Romans 9 and verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. You know, Paul is saying here that the Israelites who received these things. Notice what it is. To whom pertaineth, first of all, the adoption. I mean, the fact that we can be the children of God. That came from the Jews. Because they're the children of God. We talk about the children of Israel all the time. Nobody ever would have talked about that except that God said, you are my children. He says to the Christian, now are we the sons of God. He says, you can be my children. Isn't that wonderful? That came through the Jews. Notice what else came through the Jews. And it says, pertaineth the adoption and the glory. What's that talking about? Well, remember the tabernacle? It was God that entrusted in the Jews the tabernacle where the Shekinah glory could rest and dwell with man. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, that came from the Jews. And now that same Shekinah glory, I can come boldly to the throne of God's grace. But it all started with the Jews. I understand it because of the Jews. Then he talks about the covenants here. He says the glory and the covenants. All those promises of God, the covenants. In Genesis 12, 2 and 3 that we talked about, how that God would bless Israel, but that how God would also bless those who bless Israel. That all came from the Jews. That's, folks, understand, that's why America's great today. Because we have blessed Israel. What else does he say? He says, and the giving of the law. Thank God for the word of God. Amen. Do you understand? All governments use parts of the Ten Commandments. Where does it come from? How do we even know what right is? How do we know what wrong is? We have the law. That came through the Jews. Amen. Praise God. And then the service of God. You know, to be able to serve God. What a wonderful thing that came from the Jews. I'm talking about serving the living God. That came from the Jews. From God through the Jews. And then he talks about, and the promises, all these promises. You know, God promised a Messiah. God promised a kingdom. God promises that to me, eternal life in heaven. You sit today and you say, you know, I'm looking forward to heaven one of these days. That started with the Jews. From God, through the Jews, to us, eternal life. Praise God for that. You see, why does Satan hate the Jews? Because God's word came through the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. God's gifts to man came through the Jews. And then fourthly, Satan stirs Christians against the Jews. I say Christians, but I mean Catholics. And other religions against the Jews. And it starts like this. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 2. I'm just about done, so don't get nervous. Acts chapter 2. Because some of you have actually looked intelligent. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Watch what it says here. And this is amazing. And by the way, I've done a lot of research on this. And it is amazing, Brother Hawkins, how many, quote, religious people blame the Jews for Jesus dying on the cross. But look what it says. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And so everybody, oh, there it is. The Jews killed him. And so the Catholics, they were after the Jews because they killed Jesus. Yeah, and isn't it amazing how Hitler figured out that Jesus was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man? I just can't even imagine how he ever reasoned that way. You see, Jesus himself was a Jew. But I want to show you Acts chapter 4, and the Bible does make it clear. You say, well, preacher, I thought it was the Jews. I mean, we've talked about it, the priest and all them. Acts chapter 4, verse 24 kind of helps clear all that up. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Who killed him? Looks like all of them. Looks like the Jews were involved, and Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles. But you know, we're missing something in all that. He had to die. Who killed him? I did. And you did. He died for us. See? Oh, those Jews, they killed him. They sinned, like we sin. And he died for them. And he died for us. He had to die. That's why we'll have the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. He had to die to pay for my sins. But Satan stirs up and has over the years. The Crusades massacred thousands and thousands of Jewish people in the name of religion. By the way, Hitler killed the Jews for the Roman Catholics. I know that's not popular, and you won't find that in the textbooks either, not many. But if you study history, you'll find out all of Hitler's connections to Catholicism and the hatred of Jews. Yeah. See, Satan stirs up people, Christians, religions against the Jews. And then Satan also stirs up the Arabs against the Jews. You'd be amazed what all you'll find. And I'm telling you, the internet. Ishmael deserves the land. And articles written by idiots and all kinds of different things like that. And the Satan stirs all that stuff up. And I'm going to tell you, between Islam and Catholicism, I'm not sure which one hates us the most. It's okay. It's all right, because I'm telling you the truth. But both hate the Jews. And they would crush the Jews if they could. And the Antichrist will try. And he will do a lot of damage, as Hitler did, as others have, because of man's persecution. But let me close with number three, and that's God's provision. You see, the truth of the matter is, look at Romans 11, if you would. Romans 11. The truth is, sad to say, though the Jews are God's chosen people, most of them reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They are still looking for the Messiah. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. Why? Well, because Jesus died on the cross. Their Messiah is going to be a leader, a king. He's going to destroy those that are against them, and he's going to stop the persecution. And they couldn't imagine that Jesus... See, they didn't understand Jesus. They needed a Savior, not physically to protect them. They needed a Savior from their sins. And the Messiah is a Savior for sins. Romans 11, 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Notice what it says. God forbid. God forbid. God has not given, God has not given up on his people, the Jews. In verse 5, it says, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Said, just like Elijah, it felt like he was all alone. And that's the illustration here. There are many Jews that are saved. Many Jews have trusted Christ, and they've been born again. The Messiah came to die on a cross. He didn't come with a sword to conquer and to defeat all the enemies of the Jews. He came to defeat the number one enemy of the Jews. And that's Satan and death in hell. Many, 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 many Jews have trusted Jesus as Savior. Do you understand? During the tribulation, how many Jews? There will be many that trust Christ. There will be many people that get saved. They'll hear for the first time how to be saved. Let me close with Romans 11 and verse 11. It says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Now, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, for to provoke them to jealousy. And praise God that salvation is offered to us. Because the Jews wanted nothing to do with it, it's offered to us. Verse 19, thou wilt say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. In other words, if you picture a big tree and the Jews are the branches and they rejected Christ, well, they were broken off so that we could be put in that tree. Boy, that's a blessing. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. You know, when a people rejects Christ, that's it. There is no more chance. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. And many, many will, and many are. We see Jews saved all the time. For God is able to graft them in again. And praise God for that. Now, all I say is, I'm grafted into that tree. I told you earlier, I said all the promises for the Jews are promises for me. That's because I'm grafted into that tree when I got saved. And the promises, you know, people say, well, you read the Old Testament like that's for you. It is. Well, you read those promises like they're good for you. They are. Because I've done what God said to do. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And I've been born again. And I've been grafted into that tree. And the promises are good for you, Christian. I just urge you tonight to take comfort as you look at little Israel. I remember the scud missiles. Scud muscles. They were muscle-less scuds. I remember so many of them dropping and not exploding. And I remember the television reporters saying, we don't understand. These were supposed to be the best that the army had. And I remember thinking, that's my God. That's my God. You think that's something. We can only imagine how God has preserved that little tiny nation of Israel. As the hatred of Satan, he has used nation after nation after nation to come down upon them and attack them and try to destroy them. And there they stand. The people within Israel, some of them, you know, they're starting to cower and they're giving away the land and good night, they're making a huge mistake. But I'm telling you, folks, God's blessing is with the Jews. And those that are fighting against Jerusalem, God says, I'll curse you. And you will be defeated. But I will continue to bless my people. And I say all that to say, you know, whatever promises, and these promises, and there are many that we didn't look at, but the ones we looked at, those are good for you and I. And you ought to take great comfort. As you read in the newspaper about Israel, as you read about Jerusalem, as you see all that taking place, you know, oh, another attack, another country's mad at them, another, you know, somebody else has gone against them and all that. Just, again, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. It just is getting closer and closer. And I assure you, Israel will stand. They will not go down. Why? God said so. Let's bow our heads, please.